Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let me just say, it's easy to trust when things are going well. When things are not going so well, as we face pain and suffering in life, it's easy to forget all that God has done and all that God has promised to us. Now today, as we turn our attention to pain and suffering, we certainly don't want to minimize the pain and the suffering that we feel in our lives, that you feel in your lives. It's real and it is brutal when you're in the midst of pain and suffering. And yet we have a God who calls us to remember who he is and what he has done for us. A God who is with us in our suffering. A God who reveals his power to heal, to reveal his glory in the midst of weakness. So that we can be people who are remembering what God has done, even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of our pain. God is with us. That's certainly the message of this gospel reading for today. And God, in people's weakness, lets his power be revealed. Hear again these words of the text. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. How do we respond in times of pain and suffering? Why don't we take a look and see how people respond.
Pain's a part of life.
I think some people believe it's a test of your faith, but if you don't have a faith to believe in, it kind of makes you wonder why is there suffering?
It was a reason why he took them. Maybe he needed his veins up there to tap. To help him in the fight against the devil.
A baby is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Why doesn't he want me to have this?
Bad things are just the way that you see them.
Thank God for everything you do.
Why would anybody want to create people who do horrible things to each other? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't think God's sitting there and saying these people are hurting and maybe I should help them.
I suppose the answer will come. It's just, I'm going through a dream right now that's painful.
For those of you who are frequent airline travelers, you know that there are those things you can bring with you on the airplane, and you know there are those things that you can't bring with you. You can bring a small piece of luggage that will fit in the overhead compartment or in the seat in front of you. You know you're allowed to bring one personal item, a backpack or a purse. And some people bring a book to read or a computer to do business on or an iPad to watch movies. Some people, and you know it, bring their own food with them when they fly. You can certainly smell some of those unique dishes that people will bring on the airplane with them. But don't try to bring certain things on an airplane. You certainly can't bring a water bottle along with you anymore. You find that out standing in that security line. You know, either you have to drink it all down, that, you know, 3 gallons before you get on the plane, and you know there will be some ramifications of that down the line, or you have to throw it all away. You have to be careful now about which emotional support animal you can bring with you on your flight. No more peacocks or hamsters or guinea pigs. And then there are those common sense things that you know you shouldn't probably bring with you that you should probably leave at home, like your 6-inch hunting knife, or your $100 worth of fireworks that you bought for the 4th of July, or your power drill and hammer. You know, those are just kind of things you wouldn't think you would bring with you on the plane, but some people obviously have tried. I don't know if you heard about the guy this week who tried to board an airplane carrying, get this, a golden painted grenade. Yeah, it was a functioning grenade that he tried to bring on to the plane. I guess he just forgot that it was in his carry-on luggage. Now, here's the thing. Memory, as we all know, memory is a strange thing, isn't it? Maybe you've noticed this. There are some things that we would prefer not to remember, but just can't ever forget. That happened to me at 3 this morning as I woke up, and all of a sudden this thing started running in my head like, oh boy, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? And I could not stop thinking about it. And then there are those things that we would just love to remember, you know, like your anniversary or, you know, something important like that, that we always seem to forget. Now this is certainly true, I've discovered, in our times of pain and suffering. When we hurt, when we question, when we long for answers, it is easy to forget. It is easy to forget who our God really is. Not a God of judgment, not a God of wrath, not a God of vengeance. But you see, a God of grace, a God of love, a God in our midst, who comes to us so that we can really and truly remember who he is and what his plan is for our life. As he enables us to live by faith, trusting in him, even in our most difficult times. For ours, we know, is a God who comes. Who comes in mysterious and mind-boggling ways. Who's with us in the everydays of life, in the joys, in the pains and suffering, in real life. And I mean, really, isn't that what we find in our gospel reading for today? Jesus coming. Jesus being with us in the pain and suffering. Jesus revealing the truth that God is with us. That God is a God who reaches out in mercy. That our God is powerful. For he is a God who can bring healing in our hurt. Meaning to our suffering. He is a God who can even bring life in death. Our God comes. And he comes in mysterious and mind-boggling ways. And that's why over the last couple of weeks and over the next few weeks, we are going to turn our attention to some of those mind-boggling kind of things that we have to face in life. We're going to spend some time trying to really explore who this God of ours is. But more than just explore, it's my hope and prayer for you that we as a result of doing this, can be people who live lives that will really grasp a hold of the mystery as we begin to experience our God's love in our everyday life. So that we can be people who are actually living with a purpose. So that we can be people who have a passion to give away to others what we have been given. So that we can live like God is actually here with us. Because you see, as followers of Jesus, this is our mission. This is our purpose. This is what we have been called to love as we have been loved. Because we are the people, you see, who understand the power of God's love and the power to change things, the power to change us. I mean, that's what God's love does. It changes things. It changes us. Who we are deep inside. As we find our value and our worth in Him, it changes what we do. We live differently. That we are willing to live a life that is ready to share this truth with others. So that we can have those whom we love know this mystery too. So that they can experience this life-changing love of God and be followers of Jesus with us. And you see, this happens. It happens when we are living lives that learn to trust. That learn to trust in our God's word and promise, even when it doesn't always make sense. So that we can reflect the heart of our God as we are now people who are bringing God's love to a hurting and a broken world. Now, I think it would be fair to say that the last few days, or, you know, the middle of this last week, wouldn't be considered t-shirt-wearing weather, right? You know, with the cold and the snow and the wind chill, that 50 below whatever kind of stuff it was. But this past week, I saw a woman with a t-shirt on. Now, here's the good news. She had it over another shirt. But as I saw it, I was kind of grabbed by what it said on the front of it. It said this. It said, "I'm fine. It's fine. Everything is just fine, fine, fine." Now, who is she kidding? I mean, come on. It was 50 below zero. It's not really fine. But it goes a whole lot deeper than that, doesn't it? Who was she kidding? Now, some of you maybe know what the acronym for the word fine is. There's a couple of them out there. There's one I can say in church, and there's one that I can't say in church. So I'll share with you the acronym for the one I can say in church. But to be feeling fine simply means feelings inside, not expressed. All right? So when somebody says they're fine to you... you might have a clue that there's something else going on. Feelings inside, not expressed. Because let's face it, everything is not just fine. You and I, we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is filled with pain and filled with hurt. I know that deep ache inside, and you know that deep ache inside. I mean, we felt it. We have felt it in the death of a loved one, in the unexplainable loss of a dream, in a terminal disease diagnosis. We've watched those we love suffer, and we have wondered about the meaning of it all. And when we're in the midst of that, it seems like it's taking over, right? Doesn't it? And you know that. You've experienced it. You've seen it play out when we forget and get caught up in our emotions of pain and suffering. It plays out in our relationships with others and in what we say and what we do. And there's consequences to that. There's brokenness in our families and in our marriages and in our lives. Now, I don't want to minimize here today the reality of pain and the consequences that it brings into our lives. And sometimes it's easy to do that. Oh yeah, you're hurting, you're in pain, but it'll get better. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to take it in any way that's what I'm trying to say here this morning. I want you to know that pain and suffering that you have felt or are feeling, it is real. And it has a big impact on our lives. And I can speak from experience. I know I've been with you in times of pain and suffering. I mean, I sat just this last week with a woman whose mom died, who, in a very kind of tragic way, with a whole lot of unanswered questions around it, who was the exact same age as I am, 53 years old. The pain, the hurt, the agony is real. And the consequences of it in our life is real. And there are times when we just like to forget it all because it hurts so much. But in our pain and our hurt, I don't want you to forget the promises of God. Because you see, we have a God who comes to us in those places of pain and suffering. Jesus saw it too. He saw it in the temple, didn't he? In a man held captive by a demonic spirit who was suffering and was crazed. He saw it in a home as a loved one was ill. As people came from near and far in need of hope, in need of healing. Jesus saw. You and I, we too are in need of hope and healing. But sometimes this pain causes us to turn from our God as we are people, Roman numeral one, who are quick to forget. Quick to forget that ours is a God who understands our pain. He understands the hurt that you feel. For it was Jesus who came into this broken world of ours. He came with a message of hope. He came with a message of healing. Healing for the brokenness in our lives, broken circumstances, broken relationships. He came with healing for the brokenness of our soul, for the guilt, for the shame, for the internal struggles. And he has come to make it right once and for all for you and for me. Even amidst all this brokenness and pain and suffering, even as our God, point number one, reveals his love. Because you see, we have a God who feels our pain. And that becomes evident as he reveals his compassion. It becomes evident that ours is a God of love as he expresses his empathy, reaching out into our pain and into our suffering. And here's the thing, making it his very own. Because you see, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, left his home in heaven and he made our pain and suffering his own. Standing in our place, taking our sin upon himself, dying our death, Jesus' pain and suffering was like no one will ever know. And yet in the midst of all that pain and suffering, he knew why his Father allowed it. Even as he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" He knew why his Father allowed it. He allowed it because of his love for you and for me. And yet, even in that pain and suffering, our God, point number two, reveals his power. A power to forgive, a power to restore, a power to redeem people like you and me as we are made new and different people. People who are ready to love as God loved us. People who are ready to make God's presence felt. even in a world of pain and suffering. As you know now, the government shutdown is over for now. But there has been some unintended consequences as a result of it closing down. Some of those are pretty obvious. We've heard about people not getting paid and lives being turned upside down and governmental services not being rendered. Maybe you heard the story about the 100 or so elephant seals who made their presence felt at a national park in Northern California. Since there were no people around, these seals took it upon themselves to make this beautiful beach at this national park their home. They knocked down a fence and they said, "We're here and we're not leaving." And if you've ever seen a picture of an elephant seal, you can understand why. It's probably a little bit difficult to get them to move on. They're a large animal, and I think they're a little bit mean too, especially when they have little baby pups or whatever they're called. So there are these unintended consequences as these seals have made their presence felt. Here's the thing. You and I need to be people who are making our presence felt, as we are those who are reaching out to those in need. Reaching out to those in pain, those who are suffering. Not with pat answers, but with our presence as we simply represent Jesus in the midst of that pain and suffering. With a peace that comes from knowing that our God is good. Even when we can't see the full picture quite yet. We need to make our presence felt as we go with God's power, the power of love. Always trusting in the goodness of our God, because we are Roman numeral 2, a people who are called to remember. Remember that we're not alone. As point number 1, our God is with us, coming to us in our times of trouble, present with us in the promises of our baptism, where he marked us as his own and said nothing in all of creation, no hardship, no trouble, no difficulty will ever separate you from the love that I have for you. Nothing will separate me from you. Jesus' presence in the power of his word, as we heard again today. Yeah, it may not all make sense, but we're not seeing the full picture yet. But this remains, love remains, my love for you, no matter what. Present, this God of ours is, in bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. A personal message to me and to you. I'm here. May not seem like it sometimes, but I'm here and I'm going nowhere. And you see, God is present with us so that we can reach out to others. So that we can reach out with God's love, that we can reach out with God's promises, trusting that God has good in store for us, his people. As our God, point number 2, has good plans for us. Good plans for us, even when we don't understand. Good plans for us, even when there's pain and suffering. Good plans, even when God displays his glory through people like us, as we are simply with people who are facing pain and suffering. Not having the answers, but simply pointing people to Jesus as we recognize our power is made perfect in weakness. Trusting in God's plan is not always easy when facing pain and suffering. But as those who have experienced God's power made perfect in weakness, we can be people following Jesus together. No matter no matter where that may take us. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, and our hearts.